This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
And Father, I pray that we will become quiet. We will listen to your voice. That we can set aside the things which kept us busy, specifically last week. A lot of people, a lot of things, a lot of entertainments, a lot of events. That we can set it aside and that we can focus on you, Lord. That we can become still. Father, I bind each and every thought what the enemy wants to put in our minds during this sermon. Who wants to disturb, who wants to attract us away, who wants to distract us from the message. That we can focus on you, Father. That we can become still, that we can know that you are God. And at the same time, realizing that we've got a relationship with the living God, the creator of heaven and earth, whom we can call our Father through Jesus Christ. Amen. Is there anyone during the worship periods who felt that the Lord was giving a message to you? Is there anyone? Maybe got a picture, or if there's a certain word which came through to you during worship. And even if it's one word, it doesn't matter. Because God wants to speak to us.
Every one of you will get words, so it's not one person. So next week, or perhaps there's someone else. I just felt when we sang that song, "You Are Faithful," and God challenged me, "Do you believe what you sing? That He is faithful?" Mm. And then I said, "Yes." Then he says, okay, when was I faithful? And I challenge you, when did you experience God as faithful? And this last week he said to me, I must read Revelations and he will reveal more things to me. Now, Revelations is a book that is very challenging sometimes for me. So I said, okay, great, I'm looking forward. And he does. Every day when I read that chapter, He reveals to me new things that I didn't know. So, yes, He's faithful. So, yeah, I don't know if there's anyone else with a testimony of His faithfulness.
Is there anyone who wants to share something with us, what the Lord has been speaking to you during worship? Thank you, Urbanus.
Yeah, I received this during intercession. Proverbs 27:17 says, "As an iron sharpens an iron, so one person sharpens another." The Lord was speaking to my heart that the current church setup, which is doing in Shofar, is that He is going to create leaders and disciples, and break the cycle of monopoly such that not a single person is always standing on the pulpit, but all together we can share with each other and give knowledge and share knowledge. So God bless you.
Thank you, Urbanus. Anyone else? Albert.
Nothing deep or very like Urbanus sharing. I just saw angels everywhere. It's really beautiful. I also heard them, but I saw angels. It was really cool.
Amen.
It's blessed.
Thank you. Yeah. I've got to start with the repentance. Because I forgot something to tell you last week. When I spoke on Friday, Christmas Day, beforehand I prayed and I asked and I said, Lord, what is it what you want the people to experience this afternoon? And God said to me that they're going to focus on me. That they're not going to focus on the other things around Christmas, like a Christmas tree or lights or presents or anything like that, but that they're going to focus on me. So I'm repenting. I didn't share it last week. I didn't write it down. That's maybe the reason I forgot it. But I'm sharing it with you now, so that at least that's from my heart. I made a mistake. I also can make mistakes. I want to carry on a little bit with that, of that we've got to focus on him. And that is more or less in line with the title for this afternoon as well, Glory to God. And that we've got to put God first. On Thursday evening, together with Umir from the Hope Church, we evangelized in Utrecht. And then we spoke to a guy, a Spanish guy, and we spoke English. We didn't speak Spanish or Dutch, but we spoke English. And you could see it was a guy who was searching. He didn't know. He thought he knew. And he was telling what was on his mind, what was on his heart. And at a certain time, he said he would like to know what his purpose is on this life. Now, you immediately would like to give him an answer, but you just let him first talk. Because as he is talking, you're buying actually time. You're buying an opportunity that you can speak back to him. Conversation was nearly for an hour. It was a good conversation. But he didn't know. What was his purpose on this earth? Why is he on this earth? And at a certain time he said, I think that I'm on this earth to love other people around me. Sounds good. But it's not based on the Bible. Because he said he's basing it on the Buddha religion. Because he finds that one closest to it. So there was no Jesus Christ, there's no God, there was nothing in it. And during the conversation, it also surfaced that he had a bad experience with the church. He went to church in his area. I didn't ask him, but most probably that it was a Catholic church because he's coming from Spain. And he had a bad experience. And when we spoke about the church, he just spoke negative about the church. And I also at a certain time said, I hate religion. I hate churches because it's not about churches. It's about a personal relationship with God. And I could see, okay, he started thinking a little bit different. And then I told him, but read the Bible. Go and have a look at what the Bible is saying. At the final end, yes, I think we were quite privileged that we could give him the John Gospel, that we could give it along with him. I circled John 3:16, so that at least that he's got the most important verse, and I explained it and read it, so he's got his teaching that evening. And then I said to him, go and read the Bible. The Bible is the manual that God has given to us of how we've got to live. But why are we here on earth? The verse what I would like to quote this afternoon is Isaiah 43, verses 7. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I've created for my glory. So we are here on this earth to glorify God, to give glory to God. That's why you are on this earth. Very easy. You've got to glorify God. I formed him. I formed her. Yes, I made him. Yes, I made her. God has made each and every one of us. He knitted us together in our mother's womb. And he created us with a purpose. And the purpose is that we should glorify his name. The Greek word for glorifying is doxa. You've got churches with the name doxa deo. Doxa, that word is approximately 170 times that you will find it in the New Testament. But before we're going to talk about glorifying God, it's one of those other words what we've got as well, like mercy and grace and sanctification and those type of words. Let's first have a look at it. What does it actually mean? It's not so easy to describe. It's easier for me to describe a soccer ball. I can say, okay, it's round, bumps, we can kick it. There are a few guys who are making millions out of it with kicking the ball. And that's more or less that it's a soccer ball. But if I had to describe the word beauty, yeah, that's a little bit different. How am I going to describe that? Difficult. I can say, this is what we've been singing just now, was beautiful. That's it. That's beauty. I can point it out and I can say, but that's beauty and that's beautiful. And it's the same with the word glory. We cannot describe it, but we can say, that is the glory of God. There we can see the glory of God, and this is how we can bring glory to God. The angels were also talking about it, about glorifying God. In Isaiah 6 verse 3, where he's writing, where Isaiah is saying, the one angel to the other angel, the one cried out to the other one and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. There we get again the word glory. If we take a look at it, it actually should have read with our minds, we must have would have said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his holiness. That would be logic. But that's not the case. It's glory. So glory is of holy is inside the glory. It's built in there. The word holy means separate. God is a class which is separate. We cannot mix God with another God. He is supreme. He's separate. And the word glory is the display of God's holiness, the beauty of his holiness. When we glorify God, or when he's showing his holiness, glory, then he's actually going public with his holiness. He's showing it, he's displaying it to us. The people who also saw the holiness of God were those who were along with Elijah on the Mount Carmel. We can read it in 1 Kings 18, verses 36 to 39. I think I've got 38 on the notice board. As it came to pass at the time of offering, I maybe should tell you a little bit, it is now the Baal priest and Elijah on the Mount Carmel. The Baal priest had the opportunity to see that if their god Baal could bring fire to their offering, it didn't happen. Elijah has now got the opportunity that he can pray to God, that he can ask for fire for that offering. At the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, it was the ninth hour, which is approximately 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The same time when the priests were praying in Jerusalem, Elijah prayed over there. And he came near and he said, Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, immediately he said, this is the God, this is the one to whom I'm speaking. Let it be known this day that you are God in Israel. I'm your servant. And that I've done all these things at your word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that you are the Lord God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. We already can hear that Elijah is already anticipating it's going to happen now. When God's fire is going to come down, the people's hearts are going to turn around. And then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice. I would like to see a movie of that. I would like to see a video clip of that. When the fire of God is coming down and it wipes away everything over there. And the wood and the stones and the dust, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. When all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord is God. The Lord is God. We can see the reaction now. When the people saw the glory of God, when they saw the holiness of God, they glorified God. It was a reaction to one and then the other one. I even want to make a statement over there, that we only can give glory to God if we see the glory of God. If we do not see the glory of God, how can we thank Him? How can we glorify His name? Let me give you another example. I could have used it last week, Saturday as well. This one is coming out of Luke 2, verses 13 and 14. The shepherds are in the field, and an angel is coming down. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on the earth, goodwill toward men." Now these shepherds, suddenly, an angel is coming down. Things are happening over there. They are experiencing the goodness of God. They are experiencing the presence of God, the glory of God, as what it says over here, "Glory to God in the highest." The Dutch song is "Ere Zij God," which is for me always a beautiful song when you sing that one. And it has been translated in other languages as well, and it's all over the world. The angels came, and what they did, they gave glory to God. They immediately came from heaven. They've been doing it, I don't know how many years already over there. They came, they glorified God. And the shepherds, they did a quick test. They went to Bethlehem. They found Jesus over there. And then they came back. And then we can read in verse 20. "And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they've heard and seen, as it was told." They glorified God. They could glorify God because they experienced the glory of God beforehand. But there's also an enemy. And the enemy is trying to keep us blindfolded, that we're not seeing the glory of God, that we're not noticing the glory of God. And if I go back to Thursday evening again, this is how I felt with Pedro as well. His name actually means Petrus. And if we go back to the Bible, Jesus also said, "On you I will build my king, my church." Pedro was also blindfolded. He couldn't see. He couldn't see God. He couldn't see God as the creator. Jesus is the savior. And the Holy Spirit as a helper. And we need our eyes to be open. Our spiritual eyes have got to be open, that we can see that glory of God. 2 Corinthians 4 verses 3 and 4 is talking about it. "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded." This is the enemy who's blinded their eyes, their spiritual eyes, "who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." There's a spiritual veil over their eyes. There's a spiritual veil, we can actually say, over their hearts. They don't see the glory of God. Also want to read 2 Corinthians 3, verses 16 and 18, which is also talking about the veil. "Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away." If we turn to the Lord, then the veil is taken away. Because Moses just affirmed, Paul just before that was referring to the Jewish people, that they were continuously reading Moses. But as they were reading Moses, their eyes were veiled. But if they would have continued and would have accepted Jesus Christ, then through Christ, their eyes would have been opened. They would have seen of where it is all about. Let me carry on with 2 Corinthians 3, verses 16 and 18. "Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God, the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." We are in a process. If we're going to stand in front of a mirror and we see ourselves, we see of the glory of God. You must probably say, oh, wait a moment, you haven't seen me in the morning when I stand in front of the mirror. We've heard it just now. God made you. You are glory of God. If you recognize God as the creator and God as the one who created heaven and earth. But it's a process, continuously, like the word transforming also says over there. We are getting that image. We are followers of Christ. And Christ said we can do exactly the same. But it will never happen, not on this earth. Steadily, we're becoming more and more Christ if we are going to give more glory to God and if we're going to notice the glory of God. How do I glorify God? What must I do? In all things, 1 Corinthians 10:31, therefore, whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So whatever we do, we've got to do it for God. And we've got to give glory to God. In 1 Corinthians 6:20 is also talking about it. For you were bought at a price. Jesus paid that price at the cross. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God's. We belong to God, not because he only created us, as what we heard just now, he knitted us together in our mother's womb, but also because Jesus died for us. Jesus redeemed us. And this is why we belong to God. And we all have got the same calling, that in whatever we do, that we are going to glorify God. And that's also why we've been put on this earth, to glorify God, as what we could read in the beginning, in Isaiah. And when we are glorifying God, we are acknowledging him. We are worshiping him. We are recognizing him for what he's done. And it's not a matter of that we can say, if we're glorifying God, that we've got a checklist, that we can say, okay, if I've done those 5 or 10 or how many things, then I'm finished, then I've glorified God, and then I'm done. No, it is not. It's a way of living, like the word transforming says as well. You're continuously or changing, you're continuously or getting closer to God, because it's that process of getting closer to him. It matters about the things what we're saying. It's so easy for us that we condemn another person, that we can talk negative about another person. And I think typically in now this polarization time what we've got, there may be not such nice words what you've got for the prime minister or for somebody from the minister of health or whatever it is, but they're also created by God. So we've got to be careful what we're saying. We also have got to be careful what we're looking at. We switch on the TV or any other screen and we take a look at it. Is this glorifying God, what I'm watching at the moment? And if it's not, switch it off. And if you can't switch it off, throw it in the dustbin. Get rid of it. Because it's all hindering us of glorifying God. Also where we are listening to. What type of music are we listening to? Even what type of messages? But if a person is talking about certain things and he cannot go back to the Bible and found it with that, switch it off. In my younger days, which is many years back, I had a lot of those, and I'm just having a look and see if some of the people can still remember them, those long players, those big black ones. I've chucked away a whole pile of them. I didn't want to listen to that music anymore because it was ungodly. Deep Purple, Golden Earring, The Beatles, Rolling Stones. I just chucked them away because I knew this is not from God. And we've got to be careful. If we want to glorify God, then we've got to be very careful of what we are listening to. That's on the outside, but also over here. Because we consist of spirit, body, and soul. And the soul, again, consists of mind, will, and emotions. Where are we thinking about? What type of decisions do we make? And what type of emotions do we show? If a goal is scored, we lift our hands and we scream and we shout and we turn around and we dance. But if we hear Sundays in the church, then we sing like this. No, no. We can lift our hands. We can also show our excitement and our emotions. Going to the practical side, and that is where you live and where you work. Go and have a look at your own place. Have you ever anointed your place where you're staying? Did you say, Lord, this is the place where I'm staying? And whoever has stayed in this place before and had something ungodly in it, I'm canceling it in the name of Jesus Christ, because I'm the legal tenant now, or the legal owner of this place. I've heard it, I cannot justify it, that the Jewish people will clean the house 7 times before they move in. But we do the same every year with the church. I do the outside and Renee is doing the inside. When she walk in, you can already see that layer of oil over there. But we are anointing the place. We're bringing it each and every time back to God and say, Lord, this is your place. And this is exactly the same with the place where you're staying, but also where you're working. And if you've got a boss who's an ungodly person, anoint his chair, not his keyboard, just his chair. And pray for him and ask God what you must do, that you can just show, or that he can see the glory of God, the love of God flowing through you. Our life has got to change. Everything has got to change. The place where we're living, the place where we're working, and now I've got to look at the baker with us over here. When you put yeast in your dough, it takes time to go through the whole bread before you can put the bread in the oven. Am I correct? Thank you, I'm correct. This is the same with our life. We've got to allow the glory of God, that we can see the glory of God, that it is going to all the parts of our lives. The glory of God is not limited to a Sunday over here, or maybe a small group, or a Bible school, or an encounter. It's from what we wake up in the morning, continuously, that we can experience and that we can see the glory of God. And I just have got to get permission from my wife over here now, if I can speak out of our bedroom or not. Yes, I can. This morning when we were sitting in bed and we were looking outside, we were so fascinated with the clouds. It was the light behind it. I said, Renee, something is happening. I think we're going to get day or something like that. I saw some light. Then you see some clouds moving faster. Then you see some clouds moving slower. It's all different dimensions and so on. And I said, that's the creation of God. That's beauty. That's God. That is his holiness. That is his glory. That's what it is. This is how we have a look at it. Now, how many times are we doing that when we walk around? Go and stand next to a tree. Think a little bit about it. You put water in the ground over there, and it goes up to the leaves at the top. And there's no pump in it. There's no electricity. There's no solar panel. There's nothing like that. It's God. He created it like that. Take a look at our human body. The body what we've got. They're still researching to find out what is actually happening inside, and they can still not figure it out. They still don't know how many brain cells we've got. They're still counting. God made it. He's so special. He's so awesome. I want to finish off with reading Jeremiah 9, verse 23 and 24. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. But, I love this word, the word but. But let him who glories, glory in this, that he understands and know me. Understanding who God is, that he's the creator of heaven and earth, that Jesus is our Savior, that the Holy Spirit is our helper, that we understand it and that we know that. And then God is saying again, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. This is what the Lord is looking for. That we're not going to glorify ourselves or trying to get glory for ourselves, but that we give glory to God. And we can only give glory to God if we can see the glory coming from God. And there's enough examples over here. In this room, we already can see the glory of God. The people have been created by God. I don't know how many of you yesterday made some New Year's resolutions. I didn't. But I don't want to talk about New Year's resolutions. I would like to talk about New Year's revelations. And even take then the New Year away. I would like to talk about this afternoon that for the rest of our lives, that God is going to reveal His glory to us. That we can stand in awe each and every time when we see something. But we've got to stand still and become still, as what we've been singing. That we can see the glory of God, and then it is so much easier to give glory to God. So I pray, not for this year, but for the rest of your lives, that you're going to glorify God because you're seeing His glory. Let's pray. Father, there are not enough words to describe you, Father, and we will never be able to describe you. All what we can say, thank you. Thank you that we can see your glory. Thank you that the veil has been lifted. And if there's somebody this afternoon over here who says, but I do not understand God, but I feel that the Holy Spirit is stirring me now this afternoon, that I've got to make contact with God. I want to be closer to God. And you want to make that decision afternoon and you say, Lord, I want to start a relationship with you as the Creator. Father, I pray that that veil is going to be lifted. And if you're here or if you're maybe watching it via Facebook or later on maybe via YouTube, and you want to make the decision this afternoon, and I'm raising you now, I'm asking you now to raise your hand, that you can say, yes, I want to start that relation. I want to start glorifying God because I can see His glory now. I want to do that.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.